The people have come out of Egypt after centuries of slavery. They have been delivered by the mighty hand of God. They have been saved as God's people, and God has promised to lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey, their own land, their own place, a place in which they shall be with God and shall be God's people. Yes, God promised, "I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." And so God brings about the great Exodus. He brings the people out from under their bondage in Egypt. The people of God, as you know the story, crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, delivered from their taskmasters, delivered from their captivity, delivered by the Lord their God, in order that they may worship him as a witness to the nations. One of the beautiful pictures we get in Exodus 19, that they shall be a royal priesthood, a people set apart for God as a witness in their time and in their place. Their God has delivered them. Our God has delivered us. Their God provided. Our God provides. Their God is. Our God is. Our God is with us. Our God is for us, much as he promised to be with the nation Israel as he delivered them. His very presence for them displayed in the pillar of fire and the cloud, the provision in the manna and the quail. I want us to ponder this morning the wonder of the presence of God among us. And during this season, it might seem a little less obvious as we don't gather physically together as a corporate body, but the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the promise of God is with us. He is among us. He is by us. He is yet for us. God gave the promise to Moses as he told him to go back to Egypt to set his people free. God said to Moses, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, or you shall worship God on this mountain." I love the fact that Moses was given a call, a task, a job to do, and was told, "When you have completed this task, you will know that I have sent you after it's done, because you will worship God on this mountain." In Exodus 19, we find the people of God in the wilderness of Sinai beside the mountain. And God speaks to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, if you will be my people, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God has delivered. God has provided. God has worked wonders and miracles in leading them out of captivity, out of bondage, out of slavery, into his very presence and onto a promised land. He's offered a covenant for them to be his people, a people of his possession, a people of his making, a people of his presence. We have a very similar promise and provision for us today. As we read in the marvelous words within the Gospels and the epistles within the book of Acts, that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This new covenant, this new promise of deliverance, a provision, a presence by God. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We note that all, or read that all who believe upon Him have the right to become the children of God. We are told that we have been bought with a price. We have been redeemed by the blood of the cross. And we are to be a holy nation. Very similarly, in Peter's words, we find this call for the people of God. We find this within Peter's letter in this wonderful call that you shall be this people set apart, this peculiar people, if you will, a holy nation set apart for God to display, to tell of His marvelous works and of His wonders. We have this wonderful calling given to us today. We have the promise that we are being led into another land, a heavenly place, a city whose builder and architect is God. Recall the beauty of those who were persecuted and recorded as being persecuted as the people of God in the book of Hebrews, and how they looked ahead to that destiny and that place, that other city, that possession that was to be theirs beyond this world. The promise of God to us, as it was to the nation Israel, is I will be your God and you will be my people. In Exodus 20 through 30, God calls Moses up onto the mountain and he gives him the Ten Commandments as well as other laws to govern the people as God's covenant people. As well, God instructs him on the building of the tabernacle. And this is to be the place where the presence of God dwells among His people. A portable sanctuary in which the people of God could draw near to God as they journeyed to the land that was promised to them. God's presence would be with them. God intended to dwell with His people in the tabernacle. His very presence going with them as they journeyed to the promised land. In Exodus 32, we find the disheartening account of the golden calf. I don't know if you ever grow impatient in general or with the ways of God in your life. But Moses has been gone for a while, and the people have grown impatient, waiting for him to return. Moses is getting instruction from the Lord. He's getting the commands for this covenant people. He's getting instructions on the building of the tabernacle in which the presence of God will dwell with them. And in their waiting, they become impatient, searching for something tangible to worship. And the golden calf is created and they sacrifice to it and they worship it. They were to worship God in that place and their worship turns to an idol. You think of the commandments that they were given, the first two, that you shall have no other gods before me and you shall not worship any idols. And here the first commands are broken. And they hail this golden calf as the God who has brought them out of Egypt, out of captivity. Let us never forget who has redeemed us, who has delivered us, who has bought us with a price, who has saved into sanctifying us, who it is who delivers us and redeems us from our bondage and our sin. It is the Lord God, now made known and manifest in Jesus Christ, present among us by the Holy Spirit. People of God, we are to worship God. And to worship God alone. Moses, distraught at their sin and their idolatry, intercedes on their behalf with God. In Exodus 32, so let me turn there for a moment. In Exodus 32, we find this wonderful intercession in prayer that Moses gives up for the people of God in interceding for them. Exodus 32, in verse 10, we have these words of the Lord God. Verse 9, we'll start, we have these words of the Lord to Moses following the golden calf episode. I have seen this people, Exodus 32:9. I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of the heaven. And all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they will inherit it forever. Verse 14, and the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. The Lord had decided that in their sin, that he would destroy them all together and begin again with Moses. And Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. Christ continues to intercede on our behalf. As we rebel, even following our faith, as we turn again to the deeds and the ways of the flesh, as we seek other gods to worship in the midst of our context and in our life, Jesus intercedes on our behalf before God for our sin, to call us back, to provide again for us this hope, this promise of the presence of God among us. Exodus 33, we read, depart and go up from here to Moses, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt. So we get this call to go forth. Recall the presence of God was supposed to be with them, but they have worshipped this golden calf, and God's presence is now not going to be going with them, but he will not consume them or destroy them. And in chapter 33, we get the call to go and to leave this place, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, and go to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. Verse 2 of 33, I will send an angel before you. I'll drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But hear this, but I will not go up among you, or I would consume you on the way. You are a stiff-necked people. God has relinquished on the plan of the building of the tabernacle, on the plan of his presence going out with the people, because of their worship of another god, because of their creation of an idol image to worship, because of their breaking of the covenant of God of which they said, we will be your people, we will be your people. And so in part out of his holiness and coming out of that holiness and his grace and his love, he has decided not to go up with the people, lest he consume them. Verse 4 of chapter 33, when the people heard these harsh words, they mourned, and no one put on ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do to you. Therefore the Israelites stripped themselves of the ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. An act of repentance, an act of understanding that they had wronged, that they had sinned against a God whom they were to worship. Sometimes I think today, at least in my own life, I can take for granted the presence of God, the gift of the Spirit of God among us, Paul noting as we gather again in this season, not gathered as we would like, but as we get together with other believers, we become the place, we become the temple where the Spirit of God dwells. We ourselves have the gift of the presence of God and the Spirit in our own lives. But sometimes I wonder, if we do not pay this the mind, if I do not pay this the mind that I ought, do I seek for other things? Do I get distracted and led astray by other idols in my own life? And what does this do to the ability and the work and the place of the presence of God in my own life? Am I willing to recognize the areas in which I have fallen short in being in covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of His Spirit? It's a fascinating picture here with the nation Israel. Again, they are to worship God in this place. And the presence of the Lord their God was to be with them from that place. His presence was to be with them in the tabernacle. They are called to depart, to move on. The promise of the new land still in place, but the tabernacle, which was to house the presence of God, is not complete. And God would not be taking up residence among them. God's desire was expressed in the instructions given for this tabernacle, the building of which was read for us. And He stated in chapter 29, 45, and 46, I will dwell among you, the people of Israel, and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that He might dwell among us. That we might know God, that we might have eternal life, which is to know God and to know Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That we might be a light to the nations. Recall the nation Israel being called and set apart and being given the promise of the future and the promise of the presence of God. We're to be a witness, a testimony, a holy nation set apart in their context. This is true for us today. That we might be a light to the nations, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Let us mind His presence among us. As we continue the story in Exodus, we find that instead of building a tabernacle, the people have built this golden calf. Instead of proclaiming the wonders of their God who delivered them from their captivity, they worshipped what they had made by their own hands. What the Israelites had done affected their relationship with God. They have removed themselves from the promise of God's dwelling presence. A promise that at that moment in time ceased to apply. It's interesting. As Moses interceded for them once, he continues to intercede for them. Exodus 33, verse 12. We read, Exodus 33:12. God has called them to move on. And Moses said, He said to the Lord, see, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider this nation is your people. God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth. Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight. I know you by name. I don't want to indicate or suggest that the Lord has lifted his presence from us. I don't want to indicate or suggest that the Lord has taken his spirit from us. But I do want us to ask, do we mind the presence of God among us? Are we aware of how important it is? And of how our actions and attitudes and behaviors, how our worship could affect the presence and the power of the presence of God among us? And would we be willing to stop? Would we be willing to intercede on behalf of those who may need or pray a prayer of repentance and confession ourselves for the times and the ways that we have not minded the presence of God? The God who has delivered us, the God who has redeemed us, the God who has promised to be with us, that we might be a light to the nations. In the Great Commission that was read for us, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." His presence is what enables us to be his people. His presence is what enables us to be his witnesses. His presence is what enables us to have a testimony about the goodness of our God and his ongoing and continued power in our lives. We thank God for the intercession of Moses on Israel's behalf when they had sinned. We thank God for Jesus Christ and his intercession on our behalf when we sin. Might we be renewed in our covenant relationship with the Lord our God. Might we unadorn ourselves as needed. Might we repent, confess as needed, and celebrate the wonder and the glory of the presence of God among us as we go forward. For we have been delivered. We have been redeemed. We have been saved and sanctified by the Lord our God, who promises to be present among us, who has given us the gift of his presence by the Holy Spirit. Let us recognize the value and importance of this today in our lives as his church, as his people, as his holy nation. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.